The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 26th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news for the day, the bill to finance the war on terror holds a lot more than money for the Pentagon. And the proposed gross receipts tax in the state of Illinois could have a devastating effect on farmers. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. Also today, you remember we heard about the BNSF Railway last week and its expanding fleet of hopper cars by more than 4,000. That to service, of course, the corn and wheat industries in the United States. Today, we'll take a look at the export market as it pertains to the struggling recovery of the port of New Orleans. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all comes up on this Monday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Ford Iroquois Farm Bureau offices in Gilman for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock, and we have a featured speaker. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser will be along to give his take on the spring planting season. Panelists for the meeting include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. That's at the Ford Iroquois Farm Bureau offices in Gilman tonight at 7 o'clock. No advance registration is required, and the meeting is free. We hope to see you there.
The Closing Market Report is possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at $4.58, off 3.5 today. July futures for the harvest month at 4.70 and a quarter, down 4.75. September futures down 4 cents. May corn futures at 3.91 were down 12.25. July down 11.75 at 4.03.5, and December futures at 4.01 and a quarter, the harvest month down 8.5 cents. May soybeans off 11 at 7.58 and a half. July at 7.74 and three quarters, down 10.5. And November beans were down 11 and three quarters today at 8.01 and a quarter. May bean meal down $4 at 2.15.30. May bean oil off 29 cents at 31.67. From the Mercantile Exchange feeder cattle March contract, 97.5 cents higher at 105.32 and a half. April live cattle at $98 and a nickel. We're off a nickel for the day. In June live cattle at 95.12 and a half. We're up 42.5 cents. April lean hogs 22.5 cents higher at $63.80 a hundredweight. From the outside markets, crude oil up 70 cents at this hour, trading at $62.98 a barrel in the May contract. The CRB index at 312.41, that's up 1.47. The dollar at 83.06 is down 0.25, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,429, and it's down just about 52 points for the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange for the day is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. What a day it was in Chicago. Yeah, was anybody really expecting the heavy losses that took place? And can you tell me about the overnight trade just a bit, too?
Well, the overnight trade was a little bit lower, but they were only calling for 3 to 5, 4 to 6 lower. I think fund selling was a little bigger than expected, plus it was light trading. And then you also had stops that people had put in. Also, plain old ordinary profit taking, and some people just getting out ahead of the report, not wanting to be standing in front of it with any position.
And so we said the day's trade was a bit light. That's probably because most people are on the sidelines awaiting the USDA report to be released for acreage and the quarterly grain stocks on Friday morning. Did that I take it that exacerbates the losses or the gains, either one, when it happens. But there must have been some serious liquidation someplace along the lines.
Well, I think people saw the opening and that were wanting to get out. Once it finally did go, they just said, get me out. Instead of, you know, waiting for possibly a turnaround Tuesday tomorrow and have it jump back up halfway. We had these same prices in beans back 7 trading days ago. So, I mean, we've made a big move up and then right back down 7 days later. We had people buying beans at $3.94, $3.95 7 trading sessions ago. And if you look at May corn, we bought May corn at $3.92.5 7 trading sessions ago. So it's a back-and-forth movement. It's just not all down. Remember how far we went back up from this level in 5 days.
So your expectations then are that potentially this is the bottom of a sideways trading range?
This is the bottom of a sideways transition for right now, yeah. We look for it to bounce back tomorrow.
And then we'll have to wait and see what happens on Friday, won't we?
I think so. Today would have been a good day to replace stuff that you've already sold. This is back equaling lows that we made 7 trading sessions ago. And it's not the end of the world. Corn was at 429 in December. We're at 401 now. We got to 393. We got to 95 today. We got to 392 and a quarter back 7 trading sessions ago. If you look at beans, they got to 795, 794 and a half, maybe even 794 back 7 days ago. And they bounced today, 801 and a quarter. We had a good bounce at the end, 6 to 7 cents off the lows.
In your opinion, no real reason to worry yet that the bottom's going to fall out.
We did go through some technical places, but then we bounced back. So the technicians will look at tomorrow to make sure anything's happening from that, like moving averages. But we did bounce off those lows again.
Then if we take a look at some of these numbers that are coming out, I saw Ellendale's numbers came out. They were looking at something above 12 million acres for corn in extra plantings over last year. Where do you stand?
I think I'm at the 9.5 million on corn. That's if we have good weather. We've had those things ranging from 7 million all the way to this 12.5. I think we've had 2 people above 12. USDA and 3 other government agencies were in the 8 to I think maybe one of them was 8.7. One of them might have only been 7.8. And I think industry, after being pushed towards that 10, is now probably looking at 8.5 to 9.5 as a general number.
And it's probably important to note that while the USDA is the one reporting the numbers, that it's generally just a survey of what farmers' expectations are for their planting season, with, I think, USDA caressing the numbers a bit. But I'm not even certain about that. It may simply be a straightforward survey.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it is, but it's planting intentions. Usually, I think they have to readjust it later. And, you know, if we have drier weather, all of a sudden everybody's planting May 15th, these numbers might get bigger. If we stay wet like we are today from last weekend, we could see those numbers be smaller for corn. But weather that far out is unpredictable. Somewhere today in the material I saw someone said that the far out ones were predicting for a little drier as we get into April.
You know, oftentimes when we talk to you, you like to talk about dollars per acre as opposed to cents per bushel. When you're talking to producers at this point, how do you put that conversation forward?
Well, you talk about what the income is per acre. If you take 175 bushel to be easy and $4, that's $700 per acre. If you talk about costs, like whatever your costs are, then I would like to say, okay, at $4 a bushel, what is my cost for anhydrous? Well, it's probably less than it was last year per acre, per bushel, rather. So you look at cost per bushel, you look at total income per acre, you look at everything that way. You have to know what your costs are and not just, you know, be out there doing things without knowing where you're at.
And once you know what your costs are, do you literally ask them to say, how much do I want to make in salary this year? Is that the way you go about doing this?
I'd like to ask them that, but I don't straightforward do that. I said, have you got figured into your costs what your time is worth, or do you expect it to be zero? And some people have labor figured in. Most do not. what's your weight labor worth for doing all of this? So you need to put something in there per acre, too.
And then you can come up with a true profit margin at that point.
Right. It's every person out there thinks different. That's why there's no program that works the same for everybody. But some don't put their land payments in. Some don't put their taxes in. Some don't put this in. Put everything in but the kitchen sink and see where you're at.
Let's talk a little bit more about the marketplace. So expectations for tomorrow are turnaround Tuesday from you and then sideways the rest of the week?
I would expect it to bounce back halfway tomorrow anyway, which would be up 5 to 6. At the close, who knows where it'll be in between. And then I expect it maybe to build a little in towards the close of the week. Nothing drastic, but just to creep up a little bit.
Well, that on the idea that the 12.5s and those
can't
guys above that are
the four won't happen.
Yeah, they just won't happen, and so there will be not particularly a bullish surprise, but a friendly bent to the market.
That's what we're looking at, and then as soon as you're done with that, you'll go to the weather, and the weather right now is not that great of forecast for getting things done. We know we will get it done. I've got two guys here in the office. I asked today what it would take them to plant their acres, and one of them said 6, and one of them said 7 to plant their corn acres. And so, I mean, it can be 2 weeks from now when it finally dries out, they'll get it planted in 6 to 7 days. And that's true a lot in the Midwest.
In the Midwest, there are an awful lot of big square fields, and they get planted pretty quickly. Even in the smaller fields, they move pretty quickly anymore.
Right.
Anything that we need to talk about on the Mercantile Exchange?
Well, over at the Merc, livestock have been doing well for people. I got to get them up here so I know what happened today.
That's okay.
That's my problem.
The feeder cattle were up about a buck for the day. The live cattle were up 40 cents.
And down a hair in the April.
Yeah.
And the hogs were up again. A lot of people were worried about the hogs going lower, but I think people think that the hogs are about at their lows and the exports are good and the prices are good that they're receiving. In the cattle, well, in the hogs, you've got the report next Friday. And then on the cattle, you had the report from last Friday, and I don't think cattle feeders are that upset either. I think they've got pretty good prices out there. They were a little bit higher back a week ago. I know I had a couple of clients get 102 to 103 for cattle, and you know, that's not a bad price.
All right. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks for filling in for Kurt. And that's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, filling in for Kurt Kimmel, who's away this afternoon. He's with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour on this Monday afternoon, we'll talk with the meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. They'll help us take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast around the globe. Our own AM 580 chief meteorologist, who you can hear tonight in Gilman if you'd like at 7 o'clock, Ed Kieser, says the forecast will be mostly cloudy overnight, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, most numerous in the north. Lows will range from 57 in the north to 63 in the south. Tomorrow, Ed says, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 66 in northwestern Illinois to around 80 in the south. Wind speeds tomorrow 7 to 14 miles an hour. Scattered showers and thunderstorms will continue in the extended forecast for the two-state region on a near-daily basis through next week, maintaining those soggy fields. The greatest coverage of rain will occur over the northern third of Illinois and Indiana through Friday. Here's Dave Dickey with the news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. House Friday passed a war supplemental appropriations bill that also contains $3.8 billion in agricultural disaster relief for producers hurt financially by drought, floods, frost, and snowstorms from 2005 until the bill is signed into law. Producers would be only allowed to pick from one of 3 years, 2005, 2006, or 2007, to claim losses. The full Senate has yet to take up the measure, but the Senate Appropriations Committee approved $4.2 billion in farm disaster aid and a one-month mandatory extension of the Milk Income Loss Contract Program. The milk extension is intended to force the Congressional Budget Office to include money for the program in its baseline funding for the next farm bill. Appropriations Chairman David Obey.
And you bet, in this legislation, there is a one-month fix so that when we go into writing the next farm bill, dairy will have a chance to compete with other farm programs.
The House version calls for a 13-month extension of the milk program, but the extension is as a discretionary program, which means it would not be included in the baseline for the next farm bill. President Bush on Friday once again vowed to veto the bill if it contained agricultural funding. Illinois farmers are gearing up for what they say would be the biggest tax increase they've ever seen. They say the governor's proposed gross receipts tax would chase agricultural businesses out of the state and have devastating effects. Krista Kukowski reports.
While some businesses can pack up and move if costs get too high somewhere, farmers are stuck, working acres of land often owned by several generations of family. But they say the plan for a gross receipts tax could threaten their way of life, as it would place a charge on each transaction rather than on profit. They say that likely means higher costs for equipment, fuel, and seed, and would result in a pyramid of taxes and low market prices. Republican Representative Rich Myers of Colchester agrees.
That grain crop, let's just say it's corn, will be taxed again when it's sold to the elevator. Not taxed per se, but the basis for the commodity will widen, and the elevator, knowing that they're going to have to pay a gross receipts tax, will lower the price that the farmers will be offered.
Farm groups say it will drive suppliers out of the state, and they will be forced to buy products elsewhere. Chuck Hartke, Illinois' ag director, admits farmers might go to bordering states to buy products. But, he says, money raised from the proposed tax would help farm families. I'm Krista Kukowski.
The U.S. and South Korea began a final push today to bridge tough gaps in free trade talks. The two nations have until just the end of the month to finalize a deal that would move through the U.S. Congress under Presidential Fast Track Trade Promotion Authority. Contentious negotiations remain on automobiles and agriculture that have defied solutions after almost 10 months of haggling. The sign-up deadline for the 2007 Direct and Countercyclical Program has been extended to August 3rd. Farm Service Agency Administrator Teresa Lassiter blames problems with the FSA's web-based computer system for the need to extend the deadline. She says this will ensure adequate opportunity for all producers to participate in the sign-up. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. Don't forget, you can see him at 7 o'clock tonight in Gilman for one of our regular Ag Outlook panels. You can find out more information about that on our website at willag.org. That's www.willag.org. Well, up next, you know, the Port of New Orleans has yet to really fully recover from Hurricane Katrina. One of the barge companies there has a unique view on how the potential long-term losses for Midwestern agriculture might play out. The first part of New Orleans that was really operational after Katrina was the port. Grain exports were underway within 2 weeks of the devastation. Despite this quick turnaround, the recovery has not been complete. The loss of the city, says Pat McCarthy of MEMCO Barge Line, has, is, and will continue to cause difficult operational problems for the Port of New Orleans.
And mainly because of the limitations on personnel. There's just not adequate housing down there for the people that were doing all that kind of work. Everything from a barge washer or a barge welder to a guy that operates a crane, we just don't have the population there anymore, so that we have slowed the industry down there with the lack of people, the lack of production.
So barge companies like MEMCO have had to bid up their salary structure, but that's really only a marginal cost for the line, because these jobs compete against frontline jobs in, say, the fast food sector. Still, Pat McCarthy, who manages grain freight and logistics for all the rivers MEMCO serves, says this labor shortage, and consequently the salary inflation it has induced, is putting the Port of New Orleans at risk.
I think in the big picture, it's a marginal cost in the big picture. However, we are worried that over time that maybe the New Orleans port becomes less attractive than some of the other ports. And, of course, we in the Midwest rely on New Orleans to be able to put our product through. I really don't think in the big picture that the labor costs are going to be that big a deal to a Midwest farmer. However, I had more concern over things like the Panama Canal problems and more of this grain going out the PNW and seeing those kind of changes go on.
MEMCO Barge Line is based in St. Louis and services the entire Mississippi River Valley system with one of the industry's newest fleet of open and covered hopper barges. It transported more than 61 million tons of dry bulk commodities in 2005 on about 11,000 miles of U.S. inland and intercoastal waterways. MEMCO has a pool of 50 towboats. Needless to say, MEMCO, like corn farmers in the Midwest, has a vested interest in making sure the Port of New Orleans stays active and competitive. Depending on the river and the year, more than 70% of the corn exported from the United States goes through the Port of New Orleans. Shifting that supply would mean a corresponding shift in the price of corn, most likely to a lower level, as it would cost more to move it through other outlets. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On this Monday afternoon, Brian Stark of the Andersons, right here in Champaign County, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market for the day. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Pretty tough day in Chicago. How did it feel there in the elevator?
Well, I think people were a little bit shocked at the sell-off this early before a key report, fundamentally speaking. But I think the word out of Chicago kind of fits it best. The technicals are very nervous right now, with maybe later in the week fundamentals taking more of an approach as we get closer to the USDA's planting intentions report. So right now, with the ability to close below the 100-day moving average on May corn, that led to some additional technical selling was the word today. And fortunate for us, we were able to see a nice little bounce back off the lows created around 1 o'clock.
And farmers calling in concern?
Well, I think, it's been actually quiet. I think probably just because maybe they're not in tune with what happened today, because obviously they're very nervous. We're at some very good levels, still above $4 on a lot of the new crop values and on the board. So guys are nervous. They're afraid that, that this may be a start of a downtrend if we see a big number Friday. But right now, I think it's just the lack of calling in happens to be related to them not knowing how the market finishes today.
Chatter among your compadres there at the Andersons suggesting what for the next few days?
Well, I think we may see some bounce back later in the week as the fundamentals try to take more of a hold on the traders' minds. I think most of them are comfortable with a 10 million acre switch to corn, but nobody really knows because there's still those few out there claiming maybe 8 to 9. And I think anything under double digits at this point, which the trade feels like they've kind of discounted, may be a little bit friendly short-term, especially if weather continues to be wet. Although it looks like the latest 6 to 10-day forecast is for a drier weather pattern in the Midwest. So that could fundamentally have left us to some selling today as well.
Is there a corresponding break in the cash market along with today's losses?
Well, no. On Friday last week, the new crop values continued to be soft. The end user, from a processor point of view, lowered their basis, and we as the elevator faded as well. They're very soft from a new crop perspective. It's almost like they're banking on 10 million acres of corn and above trend yield that we're going to have this bumper crop with nowhere to go, which could certainly happen. So that's the key, watching the new crop basis. The nearbys is steady. I mean, we really haven't seen them fade here short term, but what's worrisome is the new crop basis levels right now.
And your bids for the day are?
We are 375 for cash corn, 376 for fall, cash beans 725, and fall 776.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market for the day. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Your regional newscast, that one comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois' largest power supplier has been downgraded to junk status by a rating agency as state lawmakers haggle over a proposed electric rate freeze. Moody's Investor Services says ComEd has become a credit risk for investors because of the potential for a renewed freeze. The debt rating agency downgraded Ameren Corporation's Illinois utilities earlier this month because of similar concerns. The utility companies say another freeze would force them into bankruptcy. A decade-long rate freeze ended in January. Lawmakers in Springfield are debating measures that would freeze rates in the state for at least one more year. Police in Danville are still trying to piece together a Sunday incident that left three people dead of gunshot wounds. Autopsies are taking place today on the bodies. Police have not identified them, but they say they have leads in the case, though no suspects. Two women were found shot inside a duplex on East Main Street. A man was found outside. A woman who lost her son, father, and brother in a Central Illinois boating accident says she'll strive to live the rest of her life with the same zest her son showed. Erica Hunter attended a memorial service in Peoria today for her 8-year-old son, Kalen. He was killed March 14th when the family's fishing boat was swept over a spillway at Clinton Lake. A $100 million expansion project at Carle Foundation Hospital's main Urbana campus will need city and state approval before it gets underway. Carle says it plans to add new hospital beds and other medical facilities to the campus over the next few years, as well as a parking garage. The overall plan would require the demolition of about 40 homes in the neighborhood north of the current campus. Carle says it owns most of those homes. A widower's attorney today urged jurors in Madison County to punish the maker of a painkiller that he claims contributed to his wife's lethal heart attack in 2003. In closing arguments, lawyer Michael Watts alleged that Merck and Company failed to adequately warn customers of the possibly deadly side effects of the drug Vioxx. Watts argued that Merck ignored or stifled credible outside warnings that Vioxx could cause cardiovascular problems in many cases, well before Patty Schwaller of Granite City died after she took Vioxx for about 20 months. Merck later pulled the drug off the market. Attorneys for Merck have countered that Schwaller's obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure may have led to her death and not Vioxx. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. We're joined on this Monday afternoon by meteorologist John Davis of Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Man, it's been hot here.
How about it?
Yeah.
Spring has sprung.
Almost summer sometimes. Well, we got 76 outside at the moment. I think we went to darn near 80 yesterday, and it's just been really great outside weather. Some of that rainfall didn't come over the weekend that we were expecting, at least in this part of the world. We're going to get more rain as we go through the week?
Well, you know, actually, if we look at things from now until late on Thursday night, any activity is going to be very spotty across the Midwest. So we're going to stay very warm through the end of the week, only isolated, scattered storms kind of around, but most areas will tend to be on the dry side. So over the next 3 to 4 days, we're actually going to have relatively dry and very warm conditions across the entire Midwest. The next rain system, per se, begins to move in on Friday and over the weekend, and that will put down some moderate amounts across most areas of the Midwest, but nothing excessive across the region. So the next rain event really is not until late this week and over the weekend.
Yeah, son of a gun, that wet weather we've been having that's supposed to delay corn planting could dry up fairly quickly, and it doesn't take too long to get topsoil moisture out of the way to put something in the ground, I think.
Well, I think that's one kind of important note here as to what's going on right now. It's one thing when you have rains and it's in the 40s. It's certainly another thing when you have some rain and it's in the 70s and lower 80s. With the kind of warmth that we're having right now, with the kind of winds that we're having, you can get some rain and not have any kind of fieldwork delays whatsoever.
All right. And then if you take a look around the rest of the globe and maybe at the hard red winter wheat belt here in the United States, what do you see?
Yeah, that's actually a good point, because if you look at the hard red wheat belt, that's probably the most important thing weather-wise around the globe. They saw a huge rain event over the past 6 or 7 days at a time frame that was very important, since all that crop has come out of dormancy and begun spring growth. And with more rains here coming over the next 5 to 7 days across the hard red belt, they are in great shape across the region. And the bottom line is that they're getting set up for a very good crop across the region. Talk about a difference from a year ago. On a worldwide basis, there's not that much to talk about from a problematic standpoint. No major issues with harvest in Brazil or Argentina. It looks like we're going to get some rains in North Africa for their wheat crop. And in China, rains moving through their winter wheat zone, so they're in better shape there. So the list of problems worldwide is a very small one.
Well, in that case, we'll make it a short day. Thanks much. We appreciate it.
Okay, Todd.
All right. Bye-bye. And that's John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report, that on Monday afternoons. Thanks for being along with us for the ride. Don't forget to tell Ed Kieser happy birthday if you happen to be making your way to Gilman this evening, where he'll be keynoting that ag panel at 7 o'clock tonight in Gilman. Check out our website for all the details at WILLAG.org. They'll be at the Ford Iroquois Farm Bureau building there in Gilman. Dave Dickey, along with Ed Kieser, Pete Manhart, Mike Zuzolo, and Bill Mayer, putting on what probably is the final ag panel before we get into the planting season. They hope to see you there this evening. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.